Long before the series mythology got all kooky, there was a dark, moody horror movie about a space monster, a tough-to-kill proto-final girl, and a really inconvenient cat. It was simply called Alien, and it was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
This is the number one movie in America. My name's Sean Collier. I'm here with survivors. I'm here with two people who watched two Transformers movies on consecutive weeks, and we're out of it now.
Yes, I want my rewards. I don't know. That was a lot. This is Camila bemoaning.
And this is Robin, another survivor.
I know I'm tempting fate. I'm sorry. I don't actually believe in the cause. I believe that it's a random number. So I will say, I'm not afraid anymore. It's like the end of Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm not afraid anymore.
But then there were so many sequels. They should have continued to be afraid.
Right. Nancy only made it two more movies. I'm joined, as always, by Robin and Camila, but with all due respect to my co-hosts this week, more importantly, we are joined by musician, entertainer, writer, performer.
And our savior.
To the city. And our savior. Addie Twigg. Here's Addie, everybody. Yay! Camila, make
I'm
that
so
noise.
I wasn't prepared.
Yay!
I'm used to slightly larger crowds than that, but I digress.
You know what?
I mean, it's 2020.
Yeah, who am I kidding? I'm used to zero crowds now, so.
Right. Hey,
Robin, tell the people once again how Addie winded up here.
Addie made a generous donation to Arcade Comedy Theater's Silent Auction. Arcade Comedy Theater is Pittsburgh's only nonprofit comedy theater. It is where I'm the Academy Director, and it is where all of us on the pod have had many great laughs over the years, over the 7 years since the theater started. Word. We're obviously going through a hard time because of COVID, and so donation support are so important to us. And Addie, thank you so much for making your donation and for picking a good movie.
Right.
You're welcome for both.
And even just bidding to be on this show. Like, that's...
Are you kidding? I was so excited. Because I started catching up when the pandemic hit. I started catching up on the episodes because it had been a while. Like, I had listened to it back when it was You Can't Handle the Truth. And then I was like, okay, I need to, I have more time to get back into this. And it's great. And so catching up. And then when I saw that was on there, I got really excited. So,
I'm excited.
Dream
to
come
see.
True.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to see your take.
That is so flattering. And thanks also for providing, 5 years now of theme song for this podcast and its predecessor. You have sung our way into every episode.
Yeah.
And out.
That's right.
Yeah, my husband is very tired of hearing that every time I listen to the podcast.
What?
Doubtful.
I listen back to every episode because, I want to, see what worked, what I want to learn for myself, And I do a lot of, just walking around without headphones, just with it playing. And sometimes I'll forget and I'll, walk out the door listening to a recording of my own voice. That's now I'm crazy. Now people should be concerned. Addie, why, other than the fact that it was presumably very high on the alphabetical list, why Alien as your choice?
I was looking through the list and it wasn't even that it was at the top, because I jumped through, I didn't scroll the whole thing because I don't have that much time, but I jumped down through the list and I had written down some other ones and a couple that I was like, we could watch this, ironically, I'm sure it's terrible, and a couple others that I was like, oh, this would actually be good. And I tried to pick something that I thought you guys not only wouldn't hate, but would actually like. And Robin, I know you're not a horror fan, nor am I, but I figured this would be one that we should watch anyway and that would be right. good. And, right. you know, I don't know. For me, this genre somehow is a little less scary, maybe because it's so unrealistic.
I totally
you know what
agree.
I mean?
It's a more palatable horror. It's, I wouldn't, yeah.
yeah.
So I watched this movie when I was a kid. Not a kid. You know, I was probably like 10, like enough that I thought I was That's old enough to be watching that movie. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I loved Star Trek. And so I thought this was like a spaceship movie. And I knew like through pop culture osmosis, like I think Alien Cubed had just come out when I saw this. So like I knew what the alien looked like. I knew that Ripley was like this badass motherfucker. But I definitely didn't think that it was a horror movie, which it is. And I remember being somewhat blindsided by how scary this movie is when I first saw
it. Oh, yeah.
Like, totally. I honestly... This might be, to me, the scariest movie.
You haven't seen a lot of horror movies, huh?
I have not seen that many horror movies.
Like the scariest movie you've seen, period?
I think so.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
What are the contenders? Like, I know, like, I've seen The Exorcist. I think this is scarier than The Exorcist.
What? The Exorcist? Yeah. That gives me, that fucks me up. I can't watch The Exorcist.
So you know what I think it might be, Camila? You've mentioned before, like, religious horror can be particularly scary for you because you are a religious person.
I don't fuck with the devil.
So, like, I don't have that. And then I think that, you know, Alien, this all could happen. Right? Like, it's enjoyable to me because I know that it will not happen to me, right?
Take that, evangelical America. Robin thinks it is more likely that a... giant dick alien, dick / vagina alien, will kill her than that Satan is real. Ha!
Yes!
Amazing.
Whoa.
So that's the cultural difference there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's part of what makes this tolerable for me, though, because I, you know, like you, I will go and read a horror synopsis, plot synopsis on Wiki. I did that for a whole bunch of stuff, you know, Hereditary, like all kinds of stuff.
Oh,
I will just go read it. I cannot watch it. But this one I was okay with, I think, because I was like, this will never happen to me. I'm not going on a giant space mining ship.
Like, it's like, right. I can totally control the fact whether or not I'm going to go on a space mining ship.
This alien is not in my house. Right. I'm good.
I would take this job today. And like,
what?
More so because of pandemic, but like, even
like
pre-pandemic, I kind of want to be a trucker, more so after seeing Smokey and the Bandit. But more than that, like, I like space and want to go there. Like I know that if I'm on my deathbed and I hadn't been to space yet, I'll be like, oh, damn. Like, I just want a quiet, kind of sad job drifting through space. I'm like, yeah, I want that. Might there be an alien? Yeah, but that's a risk I'm willing to take.
Listen, you think quarantine is bad. And like now in Pittsburgh, can you imagine being stuck on that ship with, I don't know how long, I don't know if they said it or if I missed it, how long those seven people were on that ship together. But you could tell when we came through, when we got there, shit, they were sick of each other. Like all of them.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been asleep for a lot of it.
Right. Yeah. Which also.
I'd be cranky if I woke up like that, too. So.
Yeah.
Well, many of us are familiar with the plot. I was surprised at how much I did not remember because it's been a while since I saw this.
Same.
And I was like, oh, I don't remember killing a milky goop robot in the middle of the movie. That I forgot that altogether.
I had no idea. How did I get to be 41 without knowing that there is a robot in this movie?
Yeah, I had no idea.
You know, not the ship, but like an android.
Right.
I had no idea.
Addie, had you not seen this before?
No, I've seen like bits of it, but I had never seen this start to finish.
Awesome.
It was,
yes.
That's part of why I picked it.
Well, to fill in everything around Dick Alien and Goopy Robot, it's time for the 60-second recap. And oh my, what a treat. This week, the first time ever that the 60-second recap has been delivered by a guest, here is Addie Twigg with your 60-second recap of Alien.
So you got to give me a minute before you hit the clock.
I'm so excited.
Because I have to get my pitch.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Give me a minute here.
That lady is a professional.
Me. You ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Just sit right back and see a film about Nostromo's ship. They heard a creepy transmission that ruined the trip. that ruined the trip. John Hurt made out with an alien. They brought him back alive. Then famously he lost his lunch and the alien hides. The alien hides. Turns out the Hobbit was a bot and then his head was lost. The entire crew died one by one. Now Ripley's the boss. Now Ripley's the boss. The shuttle escapes the self-destructing ship. But wait, oh shit. The aliens on the shuttle too, and suddenly Ripley's in her underwear. She blows it out into space, and the alien dies.
Oh my god! Let's go home. We're not going anywhere but down from there.
Exactly, and that's our show, folks. Thank you.
Did I make it?
That was under 60 seconds. I was like,
I don't give a shit.
Oh no, it was about 50.
That was, oh my god!
Yeah.
Amazing.
Thank you so much for doing that. And thank you to my husband Colin for the suggestion to make Addie sing the song. Recap.
The second that you messaged me, I was just like, oh my god, well, we have to do that. Like, I partly because I'm starved for attention as a performer. Please make me sing stupid shit. I'll do anything. I'll wear a monkey costume. I don't care.
I know that feeling.
I saw in the corner of my eye as I was singing that Robin had closed both of her hands over her mouth because she was gonna like laugh, I assume. And I was like, oh, maybe I should have warned them that it was the Gilligan's Island theme.
That was what I was laughing at. Like, I thought, I just kind of assumed you would, you know, extemporaneize. And so happy that you chose the most cheerful possible theme.
I thought it was going to be like all jazzy or whatnot.
I had to. It popped into my head and I was like, okay, I need to do like put it into the tune of a song that's maybe about aliens or something. And I was like, well, what about travel? And then I was like, oh, perfect. Yeah, Gilligan's Island, partly because alien and Gilligan are a good rhyme. Yeah. So thank you for that challenge.
That was beautiful. Thank you so much.
Entertaining and informative. Didn't connect that it was Bilbo Baggins until you sang Hobbit.
I called him a hobbit just out of spite, like while I was watching it. And then, and just now, oh yeah, he was.
Since you brought it up, let's get this out of the way. Let's just address, let's say our piece on Sigourney Weaver's paper napkin underpants.
What?
Those were like two sizes too small.
Agree. Not practical at all for space.
No, not at all.
Admittedly, she had a surprisingly short butt crack to compliment.
She has no ass.
Yeah.
At all.
No, she's all legs.
I don't mean to body shame because when I was really skinny, I also had no ass at all. So in a way, I was like, hello, assless girlfriend. But in another way, why put her naked on camera?
Yeah.
I mean,
that was one of the criticisms that I knew about this before I even saw it was like, she has to be like in her underwear because she, you know, like, come on.
Isn't she also in her underwear like in the other ones too? Like, is this like a running theme?
I don't remember it in Aliens.
Okay. And also, I started watching Aliens.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love
but
Aliens.
I was watching the wrong movie. I almost watched Aliens instead of this one. Fuckers.
Also good.
I'm just glad they were free on HBO. Like,
that scene is held up as an archetype of this particular trope where it's like, oh, we have an attractive female character. How will we write them taking their clothes off for no goddamn reason into the movie? This is, and it's,
there's sort of a reason.
It's, yeah, it's 10% more justified than I imagined because they have established that you have to wear tiny underwear to cryo sleep.
Right.
My problem with it isn't that it's there because it's in so many movies. My problem with it is it stops me on tracks because I'm just saying, why are your underpants so small?
Right.
Like,
I agree.
What are they doing down there in cryo sleep?
All the men are wearing like diaper-like briefs. Right. Why wouldn't she have that?
Exactly.
I think I figured it out, guys.
Oh, okay.
So in space, you get a little bit taller because gravity is not compressing your vertebrae every day. Maybe that underwear fit when she joined the crew.
Mm-hmm.
I hate you so much.
That's at least as plausible as our explanation for why the Dinobots existed last week. So yeah. Let's get some facts, and then we will just, we have more than enough to take us through the rest, so get through this first. Alien was released May 25th of 1979, Memorial Day weekend release. Because we're back into the 70s, we don't know much about the week-to-week performance. It made about $3.5 million that first weekend, continued to bounce around the top of the charts throughout the summer, trading places with Rocky II and Moonraker. Those were the other two big hits. Made somewhere around $78 to $80 million total. Those numbers differ a little bit. Fifth overall from 1979, just ahead of Apocalypse Now, a little bit behind Star Trek The Motion Picture. Top grossing for the year was Kramer versus Kramer at $106 million. That's the way it was in this. You could just make a normal grown-up movie and it would make more than everything else. For a sense of inflation, Alien is a big hit, but not close to the all-time chart. It would have made somewhere around $275 million today. It did, however, do amazing business for what was a limited release to start. There was no formal premiere for Alien, and it opened on 91 screens. It was reported, Variety said it set weekend records in 51 of those 91 theaters. It was probably the largest per screen average, so how many tickets on average on each screen were sold in history at that point. It's an Oscar winner. Does Robin know which one?
Well, I assume that it won a special Oscar for effects, right?
It just won Best Visual Effects.
Oh, well, at that point, was that actually an award?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Is that the one?
79, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Visual effects was just a normal category. Okay. It beat Star Trek and Moonraker. It also beat 1941 and The Black Hole. H.R. Giger, the weird artist guy, I don't know how you describe him other than the weird artist guy.
I truly just, I'm like, oh, the guy who designed Alien.
Right.
Like, I know he's done other things, but like, to me, that's who he is.
He did the Alien and he did a lot of drawings that ended up as dorm room posters. He is among the winners. So he is an Oscar winner for this. It was also nominated for Best Art Direction along with Star Trek, Apocalypse Now, and The China Syndrome. It lost that to All That Jazz. The rest of my facts are just about the series chronology because it's confusing and helpful to know. The first thing chronologically is the 2012 movie Prometheus. The movie Prometheus is the first movie in this story. That takes place in the year 2093. Alien Covenant, which just came out a few years ago, is a direct sequel to Prometheus. It takes place in the year 2104. Those movies are about kind of the origins of these aliens. The movie we just watched takes place not long after that in 2122. Aliens takes place about a half century later. Ridley goes into hypersleep until Aliens begins in 2179. Oh. Alien 3 or Alien Cubed is almost immediately after that. Alien Resurrection is way the hell later in 2381. I have not seen that.
It's
that
bad.
It's
how many
clones
of these how many of these do people actually like or are critically acclaimed? Alien and Aliens? The only ones that people are like, these are good?
I think so.
Yes.
Okay. And also, I think Alien 3 has its people.
Because I do want to watch Aliens.
Yeah, I plan on
our
going.
Our friend Eric Donaldson, I think he likes that even better than the original.
Aliens is a great movie. And Sigourney Weaver is incredible in it. She was Oscar nominated for Aliens for Best Actress.
Well, I will be sure to watch that then.
It is, however, a less important movie.
Sure. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You have seen a lot of movies that are like Aliens in a way that you probably haven't seen that many movies that are like Alien, period.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And it is no going in. I haven't seen Alien 3 or Resurrection, or Prometheus, actually. But that's the core chronology. Further complicating matters, some of the Alien superfan types, and there are so many, and they are very detail-oriented, claim that Ridley Scott has confirmed that the first two movies in this series are the two Blade Runner movies. Allegedly, Blade Runner and Alien are the same universe and the same chronology. There are both implicit nods, like there's like weird turns of phrase that Ridley Scott has written into both series in the same way, all the way up to the fact that there's some crossover in some of the ancillary stuff, like between Blade Runner and Alien, there's like 18 canonical short films. Some of those refer to like the bad corporation from Blade Runner and the bad corporation from Alien working together.
Oh my
so goodness. If you go super deep, the first movie in this series is Blade Runner. The second is Blade Runner 2049. So we've already begun. Blade Runner takes place in 2019. So we are on the timeline.
Sweet.
I also just
read on the reject this information.
I went to the Alien fan wiki, and it has like the page where it's like the chronology of official canon things in this universe, and both Blade Runner movies are on it. The
what
movie
about the Predator
Soldier,
movies?
Where that's what I'm getting to.
Okay.
Despite the fact that Blade Runner is canon in this universe, Alien versus Predator isn't. Like, at a certain point, even though there are two Alien versus Predator movies, Alien versus Predator in 2004 and Alien versus Predator Requiem in 2007, at some point became officially non-canon in the Alien timeline. They don't count, but they are in the Predator timeline. So,
somebody's been smoking a lot of weed.
Somehow, Blade Runner is more of an Alien movie than Alien versus Predator is an Alien movie.
All right, man.
Wow. Yeah, sure.
So, Sean and Camille, what are your histories with this movie?
I swear I thought that I had seen it from start to finish, but like years ago, because there was a point in my life when I was in college back in Toledo, I worked at a video store. So there was like a lot of like those, this top 100 blah 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 movies you should watch. Mm-hmm. So I was like watching everything that was, so it's possible I rented it, watched it, and did not pay attention because I didn't remember anything of this really. I'm pretty sure I saw the one with Winona Ryder, but also this one I always keep getting it mixed up, like scenes from this one I keep mashing together with scenes from The Thing.
They're similar.
Yeah, and it's like particularly like the rooms, like the set where the rooms are all white, and you know, you've got like basically I think they've all got the same like archetype person. I think they both have seven crew members and there's one black guy, and you know, and it's like two women or something like that, so it just all seems very much the same. But yeah, so this was basically a brand new viewing for me.
I know I had seen it, I'd probably seen it twice, like in high school. Like I distinctly remember renting it in high school. It's possible that I haven't seen it all the way through since then. I just saw Aliens for the first time last year, I think, in a theater. But Alien earned its place in my heart on the Great Movie Ride at Disney World. I mean, I could talk about the Great Movie Ride for an hour, if not more. It has a surprisingly high role in me developing a love of movies. Like, I remember being like 10 at Disney World and going on the Great Movie Ride, which is so much about, aren't the very concept of movies wonderful? Isn't the nature of this just an endless wellspring of joy? And I remember being 10 and walking off like, yes, that is better than real life. And like, I remember talking to my dad like on the bench while my mom went into the 18th store of the day about like, what are your favorite movies? And like that, this was a key moment in me like becoming a movie guy.
Aww.
The best scene in Great Movie Ride is the Well of Souls, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Soon behind that is Alien, where it's gone now, rest in peace. You passed by Ripley kind of looking back around the corner, and then you go down the hallway of the Nostromo and the alien comes out of the ceiling at you and drips onto your head.
Gross.
And it was so
wow.
Great. So I was sold then, long before I actually saw it.
And I've been on the Great Movie Ride, and I wouldn't have remembered that Alien was part of it.
It was like the big exception, because that's not in any way a Disney property. They just somehow ended up with the rights to it and didn't want Universal to get them. So they were like, throw it in there. And it's between like Wizard of Oz and like generic Western. Like it's very out of sorts for that ride. I miss it every day.
You had another question, Robin?
My other question is, you mentioned that she is a prototypical final girl, but this is after Halloween, right? Does that count?
Yeah, but the theory wasn't really a thing yet.
So this is like, an early stage Final Girl.
I was thinking that since it was 1979 and also this kind of the pacing and the way this movie goes, that it must have been a surprise that Sigourney, that Ripley ends up as the Final Girl, because like the first 20 minutes to a half an hour, like she's not real. We're not, there's not a lot of spotlight on her. She's yeah, all, no. She also kind of fades into the background for the most part.
Agree.
She's kind of like, here's my eyebrow. I don't think right. we're doing this the right, right way.
Exactly. That's not protocol. No, you can't come back
and
in here.
I said to Joe too, like, cause he watched it with me, even though he's seen it before. And I said to Joe, like, it felt like it was sort of ahead of its time, but I couldn't put my finger on why. Mm. And maybe that's part of it.
Probably.
I'm not sure that I could articulate everything that makes me feel that way, but it just felt like 1979 well, for this. Like, I mean, even though it would feel typical today, 79, man.
The set design is believable to me. Like, it still plays really well. Like, I mean, there's some stuff, obviously, just like, you know, because we've come so far with computers that, you know, it looks clunky. But, you know, for the most part, it's God. Just like...
Yeah, that stuff was really bad. But otherwise, I agree totally, yeah.
Colin pointed out that, like, everything's kind of dirty. And like, you think of cutting-edge technology as always so sparkly clean, right? This is, like, this is probably a very dated ship. Right. This is probably a POS as far
been on that
as a
ship for how
space
long?
Hauler goes.
They're not very good housekeepers is basically what it boils down to.
Well, they're sleeping.
It's, I was going to say, there's been too much
it
time.
It started off as a sparkly, brand new fucking ship, and those bitches fucking ruined it.
Maybe if they didn't have an unnecessary cat dirtying everything up. Get out of
this
here.
This cat.
Jonesy. Jones. Jones.
The number of problems.
I don't want to hear Jonesy slander.
The number of problems in this movie that were directly related to someone giving too much of a shit about the cat. Like, Harry Dean Stanton, which, okay, side note, I love sad, slow space time more than anybody else. A couple of times, admittedly, I was like, we can move along.
What was oh my god, the water dripping on his head, I was like,
the
we
45
can
seconds, right. That's just printing his face a little.
Well, first of all, why is he like looking up into it and refreshing in it? Like, dude, there is an alien pissing on you. And if it's not an alien, it's a cat. It's that fucking cat.
Or there's just like gasoline in there. Like, what are you doing? You're inside a ship, not in a field.
Right.
But his whole demise, he could have been the Final Girl if he didn't have to go look for this disobedient cat that no one even seems to like.
Only Ripley.
And then cat. Everyone else is dead and the ship is about to blow up and Sigourney's like, wait, let me grab Jonesy. No, it's
Jonesy.
But let him go.
But that scene where Harry Dean gets killed, why do we take away to the shot of Jonesy just like reveling in his demise?
Because that's how cats feel about people. Uninteresting.
Just like I'm pretty sure that I yelled at the TV like, hey Ripley, fuck the cat, what are you doing?
Listen, this is for you, Colin. I would save Jonesy.
Well, no. I think it's a really interesting flip of the coin from earlier in the movie, you know, when the crew is coming back and is it Kane who's injured? Mm-hmm. And they're like, let us in. And she's like, no, you got to quarantine. And of course, Ash lets them in. I wonder if this was partly a way for them to like restore her humanity a little bit, because even though she was like, no, you have to quarantine. She was willing to let someone die, which rightfully so.
Right.
Because that was relevant as hell. But like when she like has the humanity to like go after this cat who she could easily be like, forget you, I'm going to go save myself. Like
maybe
I thought that was
that's the two-step redemption process. Save a cat. Take off your pants so that the audience goes, how are we still on her torso and her vagina hasn't started yet? Now human.
It is, yeah. It was literally save the cat moment. This is the whole.
I was going to say, that's Jonesy the cat in the book Save the Cat?
Right. Like it could be. Like maybe this is where the whole thing starts.
This made me question. I have seen so many. Usually horror movies, but some non-horror movies too recently, where over and over again, I'm like, oh my God, how interesting that this is coming out during the pandemic. The Rental. Oh my God, how interesting is it that like a lot of this fear is built around the people you choose to let into your personal space. She Dies Tomorrow. Oh my God, how interesting that this is about a threat that transmits virally from one person to another. And I'm watching Alien. Oh my God, how interesting that fundamentally this went wrong because they broke quarantine. Because someone said, you need to quarantine, and someone said, no, it's fine. Is every movie just feeling like this now?
Watch The Parent Trap, see what happens.
Like, Ripley literally says, listen to me, if we break quarantine, we could all die. Like, within the first however many minutes of this movie, I swear to God, like, a little piece of me died when she said that.
Like, oh, you could take your mask off now. And I'm like, don't do it!
Why would you do that? Why? Because, like, they all seem very, there's little urgency when they bring dude in. With, like, they were all like, let us in, let us in. And now they've got dude in there. He's got a fucking alien wrapped around his face, stuffed in his esophagus, and they're just kind of like, you know, nobody's really like rushing to, maybe if we poke it, nope, light it on fire, nope, that's not good. And it's just like, and then just like the whole with the mask, and now you can take your mask off. It's like, no, it's still not safe. Why would you do that? Why?
Don't do that.
Also, quarantine is only 24 hours.
Wait, are you saying that today is March 14th?
I knew I wasn't going to make it. I've been thinking that months have gone by.
So the scene, the iconic scene that even if no one has seen this movie has seen. I read right before we started recording that the cast didn't know.
I just do not believe.
I mean, only John Hurt. I mean, obviously, only John Hurt knew, supposedly, because you know he had to have it rigged up and all that stuff. But how do you get that past them? Because that's a whole production of like stuff.
Right.
Rigging just don't believe it. Tell them like vaguely
setups were there.
Right. Like maybe they say, oh, vaguely something's gonna happen, and you just react like it's real. But how do you? I mean, there's blood everywhere.
I've heard that we're setting up for an effect shot. Something's gonna happen. Don't just react. And that was it. And that was going around at the time, like to the point where the same thing happened in Rocky Horror. Like when Tim Curry pulls the thing and Meatloaf's body is in the table. It was this. They hadn't told anybody that was going to happen. And that's also for some reason that like mid to late 70s, they were just like, yeah, let's fuck with the actors.
The reason
it'll be fun that way.
I would like to hear more stories about more movies that have done that.
Like I feel like I always heard a rumor about Far and Away that Nicole Kidman, when she looks at Tom Cruise on the table and she like takes off the thing covering his genitals, that typically they had a cloth. But since they were like together or married at the time, for the shot they kept, they had removed the cloth so that when she removed the cup, she actually saw his genitals. And that stuck in my brain for some unfortunate reason.
Now imagery, it's stuck in my brain.
Right, exactly. The imagery of what Tom Cruise's genitals look like.
I'm specifically imagining how large was the cup.
Right.
Not that big.
I would imagine not so like a...
I mean, allegedly, if you rent all the right moves, at least according to that one scene in Scream that explains.
Exactly.
The cast is really good. I feel like that goes without saying, but like in my brain, I just remembered Sigourney Weaver. And then, like, which Hurt is this? John or William Hurt?
This is John. John.
Okay, John thank Hurt you. Is all right, so good. I'm not crazy because every time when I was seeing John Hurt in the opening credits and I keep hearing about John Hurt, I was expecting William Hurt. And I was like, I did not see him. Why have I got? But I wasn't. I was like, well, that's not who, and I couldn't connect the names and anything like that. I wasn't even sure I had William's name right and all that stuff. And so thank you for clarifying.
Also, like, you know, on the one hand, all white men are the same. On the other hand, those are two incredibly different genres of white men.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Are there any other fans of Flight of the Navigator?
I recently rewatched Flight of the Navigator.
Did you recognize Lambert?
Oh,
she's the mother.
Okay, Colin and I were talking about what else do we know Veronica Cartwright from? And I was like, she's in a ton of things.
Yes.
So that is probably what he was talking about because we just watched that.
I was not impressed with her performance in this one.
I relate to her so much because if I were in this situation, all I would do is scream and cry. And
Totally.
So she is a relatable character.
But, I mean,
and
yes.
three times she was like, can we get the hell out of here? And I was like, yes, everybody listen to her. Let's go.
Yeah,
but, and people keep saying to her, you have this job now. It's like, look at her. Let her take a nap. She's not having it.
How is everybody else holding it together? That's my pandemic projection onto this movie is like, nobody's okay.
No.
Yeah, cryo sleep, more like cry to sleep.
Am I right?
Classic twig.
I know I'm required to talk about Harry Dean Stanton as the David Lynch guy on the show, but he's so good, and this is perfect Harry Dean Stanton. I know that people who have him tattooed on their body, it's usually because of Repo Man, and I don't want that version of him. I want the version of him that's like a weird, surly outsider, but also a little sweet and soulful, too. He's so good in this.
The only version of him that I have is him as like the father or whatever in Big Love. He's basically like the cult leader.
Same.
Basically.
Isn't he the dad in Pretty in Pink?
Yes.
Maybe. I mean, okay, dude's been in like a bajillion things.
That's who he is to me.
But that's all, like, Big Love is always what pops in immediately.
I swear to God, he was born at the age of 53. Right. Like, there's no way he's ever been a day younger than that.
No, absolutely not. Dude was 53 in second grade, and it's just not. Yeah, totally. That's how. So the dude, the one, I don't know his name, I don't remember his character name, the black guy. He
Yaphet Kotto.
Who?
Yeah.
What is it?
Yaphet Kotto.
Okay, Yaphet.
Parker is the character name. Yeah.
So basically, I'm assuming that Brad Pitt has taken a lot of his acting chops, literally, from this guy. Because dude was eating. This movie was what, like, this movie was 2 hours. Dude was eating for like 75 minutes of this movie.
Also makes a pussy eating joke.
Did you catch that? No.
Did he?
Okay, I thought
when they're. Okay, at least I think it was. Maybe it's just my dirty mind, but when they're eating one of their meals, they're sitting around the table and he's like, you know, there's something else I'd rather be eating.
Right,
and he looks at Lambert and she kind of was like, oh, you.
Right, right. Okay, yeah, that's exactly what that was.
I was like, okay.
All right.
Space humping going on.
My second question for our horror film buffs is the black guy dies first trope. When did that come to be? Because I was like, oh, wow, he makes it to almost the end. And then I was thinking about The Thing, where a black guy makes it to the end. Mm. And then I was thinking about Night of the Living Dead, where a black guy makes it to the end. And so when did that start happening?
I think it's more of a quantity than it is like, oh, this is the only way it happened for a long time. I think it's just more like that's kind of the usual thing that you can expect. But I don't have any hard facts on that one.
Okay.
It's addressed in horror noir, and I think it was more of an 80s 90s thing.
Right.
And if I remember, the way they set that up was more that this by the mid 80s there would be one black person in the movie and it wasn't ever the protagonist.
Right.
So, you know, since especially in slashers, people go one by one. In any case, they weren't making it to the end. And often because they were, you know, segmented in some way from the main character, they also weren't dating the main character. Mm-hmm. They also weren't the best friend. They were, you know, that was a frequent choice. But that happened more in the 80s and 90s. To tie it back with Harry Dean Stanton. Sorry, this is my last Harry Dean.
Stan.
Enough about black guys.
Bring it back to the old white dude.
Well, now I won't.
No, I want to know your Harry Dean.
Oh,
Stanton
don't be pissy.
Because you brought up Pretty in Pink, I have a lot of John Hughes things to say today, but most of them are coming later. Anyway, late in Harry Dean Stanton's life, someone had convinced him to go on Doug Loves Movies. And it's a beautiful episode of the show because it's clear that he has no idea what's going on. Mostly because he refuses to care, right? Like, he refuses to learn what the premise of this show is. And at some point, one of the other guests, who didn't even know who else was on the panel, that's the thing, it's just like three random celebrities or comics or whatever, turns to him and is like, I'm sorry to do this, I just have to ask, in Pretty in Pink, I mean, weren't you disappointed that your daughter, blah, 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 and it goes on for 45 seconds, like, with this Pretty in Pink fan theory, and he just casually says, I don't give a fuck, and ends it right there. Like,
wow.
Bless his soul. Is he still alive?
No, he died a few years ago.
Aww.
Died a few years
ago. Yeah. Rest in peace.
Anyway. I don't want to say anything bad about Alien because then I would just break my own heart. The only sad point to make right now, this is an in theater movie, I think, because
yeah, I watched it in a
brightly lit room at 12 in the afternoon and it lost something.
Yeah. Well,
it
that's your own fault.
Yeah, I watched it in the middle of the night.
I was thinking that like this must be dynamic to see it on the big screen just for simple reasons of the how shots were framed. Of just having like there was a lot of like one person in the middle of just like all this vast machinery and spaceship.
Long shots down the hall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it must have been just like amazing to see on the big screen.
I hope that we have the chance to do that again. Or the drive-in. I haven't seen that. I check 10 different drive-ins lineups every week and they're all doing old movies and no one has got to Alien. That might be a Disney thing because they definitely own it now.
I wouldn't want to watch Alien at a drive-in, I would be staring at my back seat the entire time.
The aliens in the glove compartment.
It will sneak up on people more than it should. It like looms behind people a few times where it's like, you would know.
It's like 8 feet tall and just managed to grow like seriously, like from infant to full ass adult in like what, an hour? Like that's horrifying. In itself.
That's what Carrie Dean Stanton did.
Yeah, little known fact, Carrie Dean Stanton originally was a face hugger.
You ever see Eraserhead? You know the little baby with the mangled face? That's Harry Dean Stanton. But anybody else, does anyone else have a crossword to say? I felt bad that there was a part of me that was like, I'm not enjoying this with all of my soul, but I was just watching it wrong.
There's one moment. So there's a jump scare when Tom Skerritt is in the air ducts and he's looking for it and they're like tracking the alien and they lose it and then it comes back on and they're like, it's right next to you. There's a jump scare where, like, I think it's he turns on the flamethrower and then the light illuminates the alien. And it's like right next to him. And it was a good jump scare. But also I like jumped and then immediately started cackling.
Me too.
The alien was doing jazz.
Me too. That's what I said. I was like, what did he just
choreographed it? Like, yeah, so that moment, just the way that it was done and the way it looked to me, it took me out of it a little bit. But I will give them credit for the jump scare. They got me.
I was thinking I don't know if anybody has ever watched Dexter, but there's a character that always like, surprise, motherfucker. And that's kind of what that's what I was thinking that he was saying at the time.
And don't get me wrong, it's an iconic, incredibly intimidating creature design. That said, when it does the whole thing, it's like, my mouth is a vagina. Oops, a dick came out of the vagina mouth. Oops, there's another vagina on the end of the dick mouth. It's like, we get it.
Well lubricated is very confusing.
Yeah. It's also, it was funny to, it was kind of funny, like after I was kind of grossed out after Kane gives birth to it. And then I just stopped for a second. I was like, this dude, this alien has like silver cap teeth. Like, this is like some old school
G. I noticed
G.
that too.
Like, this is like somebody's granddaddy from like down south somewhere.
Very, very small things that I just didn't find believable in space, like smoking. That was one where I was like, maybe you're not smoking on the ship.
I don't know.
Or there's like a special room for it, maybe. The cat, I'm like, okay, but I get why the cat was there. Shaved legs, which I'm sure the internet has covered many times. And also that they had a complete lack of like muscular atrophy when they got up from cryosleep.
Right.
I'm sorry, you're going to be weak as fuck when you get out of those pods.
Exactly. It's, yeah.
Like, those were things that I just didn't find believable, but like I'll let them slide because it was so good in every other way.
I assume that Ripley got her hair lasered off, that all women do that in 2122.
Or maybe it's also, or the fact that, you know, space and gravity, your hair doesn't grow anymore. In space.
That's right.
It grows in. It's crazy.
She's too tall for her underpants and she has ingrown hairs all over her body.
When her body got stretched out for her underpants, it also like stretched out her like skin and then her hair retracted. That's
right.
What it was.
On the on the basis of that solid science,
science,
let's
bitches.
Rate Alien. I was comfortable not giving Alien my highest rating ever. I could accept that somehow I think Fiddler on the Roof is one better than Alien. But I couldn't go any lower than that because I couldn't accept that Crimson Tide is as good as Alien. So that lands on 92.
Wow.
Robin?
I'm going to say 93.
Wow.
This is definitely my favorite scary movie. And honestly, like, those missing 7 points, they're not really the movie's fault. It's more like, even my favorite scary movie is still a scary movie.
I'm going to give it a Camila? 78. I did enjoy it. I'm going to try to go ahead and watch the rest of them. It's just...
Buckle up.
Like, I know there's going to be some trash in there, but it's fine. But yeah, like, I enjoyed it. It's just space and aliens aren't really my jam. Like, I feel like as far as, like, horror goes, it's too easy for an alien to be the villain because it's like, you know what? We don't know about fucking aliens. And also, you know, it's not to say we know about vampires, but vampires, there is a lore. There are rules. But aliens could be fucking anything. Like,
yeah,
whatever's like,
true.
This guy, he shits gold. Oh, this guy, you know, he bleeds acid. Like, it doesn't matter. Right. So it's just too out there. There's not any rules to follow. So I'm just like, yeah.
This guy starts the day as a facehugger and ends the day as a 8-foot-tall, right. acid-bleeding penis vagina.
Exactly. It's just too wild.
I mean, sometimes I end my day like that. I get it.
No, that was a good explanation because I you said 78 and I was almost, excuse me, a minute ago I said, this is a classic of cinema. Does anyone have any nitpicky problem with it? And Camila didn't say anything. And now we're in the 70s? But no. If you don't care about space, then okay. All right. And Addie, it was your selection.
So my score doesn't mean as much because I'm not like a constant member of this podcast, but I gave it a 95.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I really love it. Like, there were just a few things that took me out of it. That to me, I think, is what the experience is about, is if I'm watching and something like takes me out of it where I'm like, it's distracting or whatever, like it ruins my experience a little bit. But like 95 is pretty damn good. So
yeah,
apparently that's what we needed to break to the top of the chart, is that inevitably so one of us is going to anchor it a little bit. And we need an enthusiastic guest to bring it back up. Because I am happy to announce that Alien is our new number one movie in America.
Wow.
That is an average score of 89.5, taking the crown from Speed. Speed was an 87 2/3. So over a point, like 2 points ahead. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. All three of us in a normal week are going to have to go 90 or higher, basically, to get better than that.
Right.
But briefly to the bingo card, I still don't know if anything.
No, not a damn hacker in the bunch.
A belabored argument that when they restart Ash's body, that they are hacking into that amp.
I'm going to leave that to Addie.
Well, and I was going to say she overrides the computer, but that's an override and not a hack.
That felt like hacking. She was.
I agree. They hacked him. Yeah, I think they hacked Ash. I agree.
Bingo.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
All right, I accept. All right, so that's a bingo for me and for Camila.
Yes!
And Sean.
And for you?
Yes, we've covered the whole damn board.
All right.
So we've got a three-key turn now.
So now we got to do the whole thing where all three of it's a unanimous vote on a veto. Unanimous veto. All right.
Yep. Wow.
Whoever the last one to say it is, you know, when 20 minutes from now when we draw Transformers 3. And Camila and Robin are like, veto. And I'm going to be like, well, now I don't know. Like, it's...
You better move to your new place quickly.
Yeah, you're on notice.
You're on notice.
Like Tony.
Thank you, Addie, for your generosity in interpreting what hacking is.
Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome.
If every time we've gone, was that hacking, was ruled to be 1/8 of hacking, then we're there by now. It's time for You Can't Handle the Truth, where we just talk about other things. That was the theme song. What else have you watched? Revisited, new to you, new movie, whatever.
I recently watched the new Little Women, and I loved it.
Me too.
Also me.
There were things here and there that I was like, meh. But like overall, like the bouncing back and forth, it took me a minute to really figure out what was going on there. And I know I'm not alone in that, but it was just so, the way that it made me feel, I really loved it. And I texted a friend, like, I want to live in this movie. Like it just felt so nice. I watched another one last night that was not so great. And that was Late Night, the Mindy Kaling movie.
Yeah, that was kind of a mess.
Aww. Yeah. Yeah.
Like it felt like an episode and a half of television.
Yeah. And I wanted to like it. And I was like really rooting for Emma
Thompson.
Thank you. Emma Thompson. All I could think was Emma Stone. Like, no, nah, that's the wrong person.
Too many Emmas in Hollywood.
Yeah. I was really rooting for her. And I guess like Mindy Kaling like wrote that role with her in mind and didn't have a backup and like wanted to show off her comedy chops. And there are moments where I feel like that came through. But like, I feel like she's funnier in a movie like fucking Love Actually. Mm. Like,
yeah.
It just kind of fell flat, and some of the stuff was like heavy handed, and like suddenly at the end it's like, oh, she's with the other monologue writer because he like kisses her on the shoulder.
Because Mindy Kaling, God bless her, is incapable of not turning everything into a romantic comedy.
Yeah,
like that's
just barely. I mean,
it's like those tropes flow through her veins, mm-hmm. and she cannot distance herself from them.
Like yeah, I used to really be into her TV show, but then it fell off the rails for me. Like it got really just like soapy, and it's just like
for that exact reason. Oh. Like that's what took me out of that show too. I was like, just have a sitcom. Right.
Yeah, be funny. Yeah,
right. She's so funny and so charming.
Yeah,
and she is a good writer.
Yeah.
So I want better.
I don't know if it's like she just needed a better like writing partner to balance her or what, but I think it just missed the mark.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
We've talked about it before. That's the new genre, pleasant relatable, where it's a comedy, but it's not really a comedy that you laugh at a lot. Like the point of it seems to be like you chuckle every now and then and are invested in this person and you just kind of fall into a nice, you know, Netflix's Wine Country was that. Britney Runs a Marathon might be the best one of that. The one Amy Schumer, I Feel Pretty. Like the problem is all of these were sold as rip-roaring comedies and you go like, I'm ready to laugh. And instead you're just like, I guess I care about you a little, you know? Yeah.
Speaking and of I watched Relatable Nice and American Pickle.
That is also Relatable Nice. It's funny.
Yeah, sure.
Did you like it, Robin?
I really liked looking at Pittsburgh.
I had the same thought when someone posted the picture of Butler Street and they said Williamsburg, like a screenshot from the movie. Yeah. I was like, oh, but yeah.
Listen, it's a fine movie. It's okay. I don't think I would have watched the entire thing if I weren't like, I wonder if Arcade's going to be in it. You know what I mean? Like I was very
the
like.
The alley is.
Hollywood's favorite Pittsburgh alley. Exchange Way.
I thought it was better than fine. I don't think it was great. It's too serious for the moments where it's sitcom-y and too sitcom-y for the moments where it's serious, but I'm really impressed that I like believed and understood a relationship that was just Seth Rogen playing two slight variations on the same guy. Like
That's a very good point.
I was invested in these conversations between the same person.
It is a good example of your premise doesn't need to be airtight for it to work, right? Like the premise is that a man gets locked in a vat of brine and wakes up 150 years later, and everybody's just like, yep, that's what occurred. Like there is...
No challenge at all.
That is the reality of the film. It is otherwise a very grounded movie.
That's the biggest pure laugh. The doctors are explaining it, and you see part of the scene, and the doctor says, and now I will explain what happened. And it just cuts back to the narrator saying, he explained it. It was a good explanation. And everyone, not in the David Bowie joke that's in the trailer. And he needs more people to help him get his pickle business going. And someone explains interns to him. And he goes, oh, you mean slaves? No.
Oh, God.
It has a few shots at startup culture that are very apt. It's good. I like it. Watch it if you feel like it. This was me stealing from Robin's.
That's all I have to say.
I watched Host.
Oh.
And it was great. It was so great. I mean it's just being the premise of it, and it was much better than like some of the other ones. That like Unfriended, I guess, was one that was kind of similar to that. premise of, you know, everything taking place online and all that stuff, it was definitely scary and it was creepy. And all I got to say is that's what you get for fucking with the devil. I mean, those girls, you roll up in there with their whole seance business and nope. That's what you see. Now keep playing around. But there was one moment where, and I don't know if it was intentional, if it was supposed to be like a nod to Blair Witch Project, when the one girl, the one who was making fun of everything, that she's like really crying and really snotting it up, like, and there's such a close up, and I'm pretty sure she like wiped her face and there were just like boogers like across her cheek, and I couldn't, and that pulled me right out. I'm just like, will she please wipe her face off? She's got
It's filmed in quarantine. There's no one there to go, cut, there's a booger. Just take it again.
That is one that I will not watch, specifically because of your description, Sean, when you were talking, because it's the one where it's all like in video Zoom. Chat, right? Yeah. Like a Zoom environment.
Yeah.
And like when you said like, oh yeah, this could be happening in my house, I was like, nope. I don't even want to think about this anymore. Nope.
No, host is great. I won't spoil it. But there's 10 points in that where I'm like, brilliant. And the best one of them is the way the movie ends.
Right.
I won't give it away, but I'm like, correct. Mm-hmm. That is,
well, I'll read it on Wikipedia.
Thing.
I know. I'll read it. Yeah. Like I could see on her face being like, to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And it's also,
we'll tell you when the recording ends.
Yeah. And okay. I appreciate the fact that they accomplished so much and they did such a great job in under an hour. Like, it's like, yes, like, y'all didn't have to drag this out for an extra 30 minutes just to make it seem like it was a full feature, you know, like for let the public think it's a full feature movie. But yeah, well, they did. They came in, they executed what needed to be done. And it was like just fucking on point. Like, bravo.
OK, so John Hughes. last night I went to a John Hughes double feature at Evergreen Drive-In, 16 Candles and Breakfast Club. I had seen Breakfast Club, like Alien, not since high school. I had not seen 16 Candles. It was
Breakfast
lovely
Club sucks.
To revisit.
I'm sorry, what?
Breakfast Club sucks. Are we going to fight?
The point I was about to make was Breakfast Club is great, and that's one worthy of preserving and revisiting. What are you talking about?
Okay, listen, I am being late. Like, before Camila has a stroke, that movie is fine.
Fine!
Yes, like, ma'am. The characters are cool, and, like, there are bits in it that are very funny, and, like, I totally understand why it is, like, the icon in pulp culture that it is. I just don't think it's very good, and honestly, I would feel totally differently about it if it weren't for the end where the people couple up. That has never made sense to me and is ruins the movie for me.
Well, here's the thing. It's
like that jock is never gonna want to kiss that dandruff girl.
But dude, like, it's high school and they've spent like the whole day together.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure fast forward to next month, they're not together. So
they're together next weekend.
Right, exactly.
But, like, that's what makes it realistic, is that it's high school.
Right.
So I guess relationships are built to last.
Right, exactly. And I guarantee it was in secret. Like, nobody told anyone.
Yes. I haven't seen this movie since high school, and I forgot that they give her like a normal girl makeover.
That was going to be my complaint. I mean, the only problem I had last night was like, I'm watching her end up with Emilio Estevez, but clearly she has to end up with Anthony Michael Hall, right? Like, that's...
She shouldn't end up with anybody!
No, she should end up with Anthony Michael Hall, and that should be the only pairing. Like, I agree that Molly Ringwald and Judd Hirsch... No, that doesn't make sense.
No,
but, like, the only couple
sense.
That should... No, it doesn't!
It says because Molly Ringwald... Molly Ringwald... Yes, exactly.
Everybody
that's an F.U. That's an F.U. to her parents.
Pussy, period.
Right. That's an F.U. to her parents. Like, she's, like, bringing this
dude
home, and she's like, fuck you, mom and dad, look at this. And then he's just like, fuck, she's gonna give it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
And so that one.
I don't know if they all have varying levels of, like, integrity in a dumb teenage sense, but you can almost argue that Judd Hirsch has the most, and she has the least.
I see him rejecting her.
Judd Nelson.
Oh, it's way better if Jared rejected her. It's way better if it's Judd Hirsch.
I would watch the hell out of The Breakfast Club starring Judd Hirsch.
But The Breakfast Club is good.
Anyway.
No, I was like, I was so pleased. Maybe it was coming right after watching 16 Candles. It's almost an I hesitate to say this, it's almost an art movie in how much it doesn't give a shit about structure, about plot. This is like a slices of life movie with these little vignettes, and a number of them get really raw. Like, it just really connected last night. Now, 16 Candles, nobody needs to watch that again.
Why is it people watching 16 Candles in 2020? Like, publicly exhibiting it. How is, like, are cars not just, like, driving themselves in circles because they're feeling uncomfortable?
Yeah.
It's so uncomfortable. And whatever amount of, like, sure, it's funny. It's got a lot of jokes that work. And Molly Ringwald is great. Long Duck Dong is like Mickey Rooney and Breakfast at Tiffany's level. Like, I can't even watch anymore. And what shocked me, I'm not going to put anybody on blast, is like when I tweeted out I was watching this, four people replied with Long Duck Dong gifs. It's like,
yeah,
no, we're not going to be able to rehab this one. Like,
it's not a white man in yellow face. Like, that is the difference between this and Mickey Rooney.
But still,
other than that, it's the same stereotypes. Yes, right. It's gross.
It's 1 degree better.
Right.
Yeah.
It's 1 degree better. And I think that people want to, like, it's not like Short Round, you know, or the actor who played Short Round then in Goonies, where it's like, yeah, there's an uncomfortable accent, but fundamentally that's where the stereotype ends. Everything about him is a stereotype, and a gong plays every time he comes on screen. This is before you get to, like, really uncomfortable, like, did they have sex when they were both blacked out because the one guy was trying to get rid of his girlfriend? And, like, I try not to cancel movies. Like, there's so many movies in the 80s that have totally inappropriate parts that I will be like, it's fine, you know, look past that one bit. This just doesn't have enough going on to overlook all the shit on the other side.
No,
I agree. Is that what the double feature was? 16 Candles and
wow. Then Breakfast Club. So that probably made Breakfast Club look better.
You are making me think I should give Breakfast Club another chance. To be fair, I have not seen it as a grown-up.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that's going to make it any better for you.
I kind of feel like it's not. I don't plan on watching. And also, like, that was the other thing with me saying Breakfast Club sucks, is, like, that is one of those movies that, like, hanging out with the girlfriends when I was 15, it was like, let's watch Breakfast Club. And I was always like, because I was the kind of obnoxious person who was like, can't we watch The Lady Vanishes?
Robin!
I've never seen The Lady Vanishes. That's just the that's the kind of movie that I would have wanted to watch.
I mean, if you watch it right after 16 Candles, because compared to 16 Candles, you're like, oh yeah, this one
has a walk in the park. Kane.
That was my second full double feature in 3 days after Little Shop of Horrors / Rocky Horror Picture Show at Riverside. I had never seen Little Shop of Horrors.
It's so
good.
Also, it is. Do you know that the doo-wop girls were all teenagers?
Tisha Campbell.
That's amazing.
Martin's girlfriend is one of them, and the mom from Everybody Hates Chris is one of them, and then there's a third actress, and they were, I think, like, maybe the oldest any of them were was, like, 19.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody remembers this. There was a show called Rags to Riches way back
when.
Yes, Tisha
Campbell!
Yes! Yes! Which I have been on a search for trying to find these damn episodes again, but yes.
YouTube. I'm pretty sure I saw them recently on YouTube, or at least clips on YouTube.
Right. Well, basically, it was like, you know, Little Orphan Annie, and it was like a musical television show, or whatever. And Tisha Campbell was one of the girls on there, and she was very young. And I probably only bring this up just because I wanted to shout out Rags to Riches.
Yes. I'm with you. I'm right there with you.
Allegedly, there's a Little Shop remake in the works.
No.
Don't do it.
I don't know if that can be made successful. However, the confirmed casting is Chris Evans as the dentist. And I'm like,
that's good casting.
Board.
I would like to. I'm intrigued. Okay. As long as we can keep the song.
Have you guys?
And Billy Porter as the voice of the plant.
My God.
Also good casting.
Yeah. Have you guys talked yet about this Dirty Dancing sequel?
Sequel or remake?
Apparently, Jennifer Grey is producing and starring in, or at least in, a sequel to Dirty Dancing.
You know.
And, like, you know, typically when I hear about, like, reboots or sequels of, like, old shit from my childhood, I'm like, ugh, why? But for some reason, maybe it's quarantine has worn me down, I am like excited about this.
Did you really? Are you really like a big fan of Dirty Dancing?
I'm not like a super fan. I mean, I love it as a movie, but I'm not like a super fan or anything. I don't know. Maybe part of it is like, I want Jennifer Grey. I felt so bad that she didn't get, like, her career kind of got derailed after that. And she got like a damn nose job, and then she couldn't get, like, I feel very bitter on her behalf.
Did you ever see that sitcom?
I love the idea she could come back.
There was a sitcom where she played herself. And like the joke was, it was one of those sitcoms where they were like trying to do Seinfeld, but in LA.
Oh.
And it was like, Jennifer Grey lives in this apartment building and nobody knows who she is because she's unrecognizable.
She is, though.
Yeah.
I just know that I'm intrigued and I will watch whatever this sequel is that they put out.
Yeah. You know, I mean, if it shows up on HBO one day, sure, I'll probably watch it. But I just never really got into, like, Dirty Dancing was like, it's fine.
That was another movie that when people wanted to watch movies when I was growing up, that was always a choice. And that was one that I did never get tired of, even though it's like, you know, it's not good.
But yeah. Yes. It's bad.
The name of the show where she played herself was It's Like You Know, which is a really Seinfeld, but in LA.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I had no idea that that was her. Like, I've never seen it, but I know of the show, and I did not know it was Jennifer Grey's show.
And there it is.
That is wild.
I have not seen Dirty Dancing.
I don't think you need
you're
to.
Fine. What? You're fine. It's okay.
Like, you know the references.
I'm surprised.
It was going to be this weekend's. What's that, Camila?
I'm surprised that Eddie's surprised that you haven't seen it.
Yeah,
I guess, right.
Who hasn't seen Dirty Dancing? Sean, apparently.
It was going to be this weekend's double feature. We were saying, I guess we'll do the Dirty Dancing Roadhouse Swayze double feature Saturday. Until we found at a different drive-in the Motel Hell and Carrie double feature.
Oh,
and,
wow.
That meme of the car swooping off the exit. and really, if I don't see it now, when else am I going to be like, it's the Dirty Dancing day? I don't know. Maybe before the sequel. It's the longest episode ever, but I tell you, I'm fine with that for two reasons. We're just so overjoyed to be hanging out with Addie.
Same.
And and it's the first time in 3 weeks that we weren't talking about the Transformers.
Right.
So we're like, this is great. Two things left to do before that, though. First, we have to draw a movie. If you somehow forgot from 30 minutes ago, there is a veto in play, but we all have to agree. The only way that we can use this veto is if all three of us don't want to watch, it might come up. First of all, I want you to know it was only 7 away from Transformers.
Oh, boy.
Yikes.
But it's not much better. It's the Ninja Turtles movie TMNT from 2007.
Is that also goddamn Michael Bay?
No.
Okay.
The Michael Bay ones were later. This is the one that everybody forgets about. It's an animated movie that came out in 2007. This is neither the Michael Bay Transformers nor the ones you would actually want to see. It's the other one. TMNT from 2007.
Save you the trouble and tell you now that I hated it. I was like, give it a 5. Say that I watched it.
here's the risk. I know what we're all thinking right now. We all want to veto this so that we can get something fun again. But if we do that, one, we're trapped with the next movie, and two, fresh bingo card, there's no safety in sight.
Yeah, don't do it, because you also have another guest coming who hopefully will pick a good movie.
Right. What is the
and
name of
that'll
this movie?
Be a reprieve.
It's the one that's just called TMNT. It was the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film made with computer-generated imagery.
It looks so ugly. I'm not turning my key unless somebody convinces me otherwise.
I'm too curious. I loved the Turtles when I was a kid. The new ones are so bad that I'm like, this has to be better. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah, just get it over with.
I just have a perverse interest in ugly computer animation.
Yeah, me too. And like, even when I go back and watch the old, like the first Toy Story, I'm like, yikes, this is ugly. So yeah, me too, Robin. I'm with you.
I'm
not
privately
that I have
playing.
To watch this, but
I'm privately.
I know. Listen to you, Addy. You don't have anything to.
I'm like the devil on Sean's shoulder. Do it.
I played the "What would have happened if we vetoed" game, mm-hmm. and I can't tell you how much we made the wrong decision.
I'm like,
I shouldn't tell them. I shouldn't tell them what happened when I played the What Would Have Happened game.
No, I want to know.
It landed on 40, which is a little film from 1986 called Aliens. It landed on Aliens. I drew a second movie. As soon as Robin and I said, I'm not vetoing, I hit the button again, and it landed on Aliens.
Okay, well, I think Rocky III Protocol is in place.
I think Rocky III Protocol is definitely
in place. All right, good.
If we had just landed on Jurassic Park, Lion King, or some shit that we just would have liked to see, I wouldn't have said anything. But the fact that it's Aliens, I'm
wow.
Watching.
All right.
Wow.
That is so funny. Can I just say, like, since I'm the guest, like, I endorse that decision?
Yes, there we go.
You have my blessing? Yes. My guest blessing?
I mean, you're the one who made it possible by saying that we got bingo.
Right.
Yeah, like, it's funny because I actually, before you rolled, I was going to be like, I'm your good luck charm. That is weird, though, that it landed on Aliens. That's fucking weird.
That is so bizarre.
Here's what happened. An hour and a half ago, I was like, there's not actually an invisible hand guiding these draws. And then Tony said, the fuck there isn't.
Hold my beer.
That's good. We're going to watch Aliens. We're going to watch TMNT, and we're going to say, that was okay. Yeah, it was fine. Now let's talk about Aliens. It's going to be a great episode. Alien, the first one, was released May 25th, 1979. What was the number one song in America that weekend? Memorial
also
Day week.
Also going to guess Donna Summer.
No, Donna Summer had 3 weeks at number one, not long after that with Hot Stuff. Another 5 weeks later that summer with Bad Girls. She was certainly all over the charts.
Michael Jackson.
Not Michael yet. Bad Like Ambrosia is an interesting way of putting it. Yeah, I will say this is Bad Like Ambrosia.
Like Yacht Rocky, which I love. Bee Gees? I love Yacht Rock.
This would not be on the boat, but it's not. The same radio stations would have played this. Down tempo adult contemporary hint. I guess it's a duo. I don't know if that was the name of the band or if it actually was. There was
what, Captain and Tennille?
You're very close, but still no.
Very close in that there's some kind of naval theme.
Very close as in it's somebody and somebody, and it's the same kind of AM radio wishy-washy bullshit.
Seals Loggins, and Croft.
Loggins and Messina.
Keep throwing them. No, you won't get it based on that. If I were cooking and I put a certain fruit and a certain spice,
peaches and cream or peaches and herb,
I would have peaches and herb.
Peaches and herb.
With Reunited.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So, yeah, that is. They would not be on the boat, but.
Would not be on the boat. They would be on the same radio station.
They'd be on the dock.
Right, yeah. Serenading as it took off, waving.
I'm looking at this list and I'm like, was this a good year or not? Because, like, I Will Survive is in there, and What a Fool Believes, speaking of Yacht Rock, Blondie was Heart of Glass was number one for a week. But
tell
then
me,
you're
like any at the breaching of any decade, like 78, 79, 80, 81. Shit gets real weird, and right around then, like at that, like that turn, it was just like real, like mellow, and got like bad and corny and synthy, and yeah.
You're saying shit gets weird at the beginning of a decade in 2020.
No comment.
Addie, you want to sing us out?
Ooh, yeah. It's gonna be real quick. Ready?
Okay.
Number one movie in America.